When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, before we get back to the calls at 800-919-3776, and we'll get the conversation rolling here with you, full buffet on a Thursday. I like that, by the way. It's good stuff, Jake. Let's play a game. So Jacob and I were talking about things that we could do to have some fun with you today, Bart. And this is one of them because we've been hearing a lot of Patrick Mahomes lately, of course, won the Super Bowl. And we're hearing a lot of Gerrit Cole now because the Yankees and pitchers and catchers have arrived in Tampa. And so, you know, when you hear the cuts, you're not quite sure who's talking. So we want to see how good your ear is. And so we want to just play each one a little something that each of them say. And we try to keep it as generic as possible. And then you've got to tell me who it is. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought it was good.
Who's that?
That's Gerrit Cole.
That's Gerrit Cole?
Yep.
Well, that's pretty good. All right, let's see.
It's doing good, you know.
That's Patrick.
So what's the difference in the voices?
Well, you can tell.
I thought it was a big step forward.
He's more like
Kermit the Frog here.
Me.
And then Patrick is more like
Kermit me the Frog here.
All right, who's this?
Me.
Oh, no, do it again.
Me.
Oh, that's Gerrit Cole.
That is incorrect. That is Patrick Mahomes.
I was going to go with Patrick, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely thought there was interest there.
Yeah, that's Patrick. Come on, man.
Honestly, I had no clue.
That's
you were on it tonight.
Cole.
That's just who I am. I'm going to fire it.
He's changed his voice. Have you noticed?
He's trying to breathe. I tell you what, another person you want to put in there that sounds just like them.
Who's that?
Romeo Crennel.
Romeo Crennel?
Yeah.
Really?
Sounds just like them.
But these guys are closer in age, so it just, you know. I like
that, for Pete's sake.
So, but that's Kermit the Frog. Wait,
is this Kermit or is
that's
this
Kermit? That was Kermit.
For Pete's sake.
That's Kermit, man. But I'm telling you, man, find anything in Romeo Crennel. Like, he was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns when I went in for an interview.
He was like, Mark, do you think you can play in front of the girl? I'm like, what?
In front of the what?
He old. He big as hell. Like, he like a box. Right. He's like 5'10". He's like 5'10", 3'10". I'm like, is that his real voice? Like, this big-ass dude?
He's only 5'10"?
Man, if that. He might be 5'8", 3'10".
And he's 3'10"?
And he's older than Bill Belichick.
That's I'll tell you what. God bless him. That at 5'10", 3'10", he's older than Bill Belichick. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying with that, right? Like, I'm not going to say it out loud, but you know what I'm insinuating.
And he got a mustache.
That,
you know what I feel about men over 40.
That might be the biggest victory of his life.
And I tell you, men over 40, what I feel about men over 40 that got only a mustache. That's why I was like, you know what? Nah, I'm gonna go back to the Ravens. I can't trust you. I don't know if I trust you.
You think Hey, Bert.
Go over the guard?
Hey, Bert. You think you can play with the guard in your face?
Like, what?
Wait, bro, sounds like Bert and Ernie. You remember those characters?
Yes.
Hey, Bert.
Yeah.
Hey, Bert.
For Pete's sake.
There's nothing better than that. There really is.
It's doing good, you know. Me.
Yeah, listen to the difference here. Listen to the difference. This is.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely thought there was interest there.
Patrick.
Right? And then now it sounds like this.
That's just who I am. I'm going to fire it.
You notice how he brought it down?
He's trying to sound deep. That's just who I am. That's just who I am. Now I'm Grimace.
He tried to put a little Louis Armstrong into it, right?
About that bad me near to WB.
What a wonderful world.
The WB.
That's pretty good. Now let's hear some real Gerrit Cole here now from today having to do with the Yankees, and you know, championship is what everybody talks about. And so he's won a Cy Young, but hasn't won a championship yet.
Well, I don't think it's a hole, but I mean, I think that it was one of the reasons, in fact, probably the main reason why I'm here is that, you know, the Yankees, the Steinbrenner family, and us as an organization, we set out to do that goal every single year, and they provide us with the opportunity to certainly accomplish that goal every single time. So, you know, as a player, you don't take that for granted, and it's on the forefront of your mind every time you're preparing.
Did they do enough?
Great question.
To support him?
Great
question. And what kind of pressure is he under to stay healthy? Stroman can be the good Stroman, or he can be the 4 ERA
Rodon,
Stroman.
Right. You got Rodon. You've got Nestor. Nestor Cortez. I mean, this is your rotation. Here's Gerrit Cole about the Yankee rotation.
I mean, so right on the surface, the top four guys are former All-Stars. Clark Schmidt having a career year last year, looking to build on a really solid innings build-up and a really solid body of work. The depth guys I'm not quite as familiar with, but obviously are highly regarded, and strike throwers, which are always welcome in the major leagues. So certainly excited to see what some of the young guys have to bring. You know, it's always exciting when organizational guys make the next step, and certainly excited to see what the rest of the rotation and the top five guys can do.
How do you feel about that?
He's trying to explain it away. Like, you can tell he's toting that corporate line. So you can tell that he's going to be the de facto spokesman for this team.
He certainly isn't speaking with the kind of bravado that you would if you have, like, you know, if he had.
He just won a Cy Young, so he can talk that talk.
Oh, he can. There's no doubt about it. He's a highly respected guy in his sport and also in that clubhouse. So he could say what he wants, but you know, like I've always said this, you know, when you walk into a locker room, a clubhouse, start of the season, you look around, you see the faces and the names, and you go, oh, yeah, we got a squad. Like, you just know, right? You walk in and you know, like, yeah, we got something special going to happen here. We got some dudes. And he talking like a guy that walked in the room going, all right, let's see what this is.
They strike doors. Yeah. It's always a good thing.
And how about the fact that he goes, I don't know the depth guys. Oops.
Yeah, and they struck.
That means you don't know who – that means there's no brand names. You don't know who these guys are.
And they struck out. They struck out in the offseason, whatever. They cast that hook, and they came back empty-handed. You know what
so
I'm saying? They watch the Dodgers land the big fishes.
Well, but it's still weird that Blake Snell's not signed. It's still weird.
I mean, you got to ask yourself with Blake Snell, like, what is it? You know what I mean? You think 5 innings, who knows what that is? What does that look like? How do I build around 5 innings? What are we doing at?
So Cole gets his
damn
Cy Young.
Bullpen day.
The elusive Cy Young, he finally gets it, is winning another one, his goal.
It's obviously a really special honor, and I'm very thankful to be able to represent the Yankees and my teammates this year and receiving that award. You know, with that said, it's not on the goal list. It wasn't on the goal list any year. And so, you know, that list and that process has produced some pretty good results, so I'll probably stick with that. And with that said, you know, go out there and prepare to win a world championship. I mean, that's really at the top of the list for sure. So looking forward to having the opportunity to repeat some of that success from last year and build on it. But, you know, with the main focus being bringing a championship back to New York.
That has to be, to me, the only goal he talks about. And I think that's what he said there is the right thing to say. It's the perfect thing to say, actually. I really respect Gerrit Cole when it comes to knowing what to say and having that voice of leadership. I think that's important. And you have that in him, and I think he needs to do it more. And I'm glad that he is talking championship, because you know what I don't like when some organizations, they don't want to say the word, they don't want to talk about it, they don't want to. The Yankees have to talk about it, Bart, don't they? Like, Aaron Judge has to talk about it. It's the only thing that matters. It's the only thing we're focused on. It's all we care about, right? Judge has his MVP. He's got his home run record. He's done everything that you need to do individually for it to matter. Gerrit Cole, same thing. All the individual stuff, he's done it over. He's already taken care of. The only thing that should matter to the two most important players on this team is making sure that everybody else on that roster and in that clubhouse is playing at a championship level, that a championship standard is all that's acceptable around them. And I don't know how it works in football, Bart, but how do you uphold that kind of standard when there's just so many people in the clubhouse or the locker room? It's not like in basketball. It's 15 dudes. You can see everybody's eye to eye. You see every single player around you. But in the NFL and Major League Baseball, you can't do that. It's a lot harder to have that kind of standard or to hold it and make sure everybody's following it, because there's just so many different pockets of the room. There's different cliques within the team and all that stuff. So how do they do it? Because, Bart, it's the only thing this season for the Yankees that they're going to be measured on. Are they playing at a championship level? Are they a team that should get to the World Series? Last year's season left us leaving a lot of doubt about what they are, and they returned essentially the same team. Essentially the same team.
I mean, he's saying the right things, and I would have answered it like, listen, if I win the Cy Young, that means I'm playing well. That means I'm one of the best, and that means we should be having a good season. Yeah, I'm here to hold up my end of the bargain. But, you know, that's not the goal. The goal is to win a championship, and that's what I came here for. This organization's hungry for a championship. We need it, and I know he said, you know, similar to that. But he has to set the standard. Like, listen, I'm going to be on my game every game, and I need y'all to step up and be on y'all game, holding guys accountable. At some point, somebody need to go pull Gleyber Torres and say, man, you better than that. And I'm not going to allow you.
He better show up in elite shape. Elite shape.
See, and if he doesn't show up in elite shape, then I'm going to ask the Yankees brass, what the hell were they doing? Because they should have had a conversation with him before he left about what the expectations was.
I need to be blown away by Garrett. Seriously, there's two players. I already think Stanton's going to surprise a lot of people. I do. But because I think he took his offseason like seriously for
personal.
The first time.
Yeah.
Personal. That's a great way to put it. I think he took it personal. So let's see. But Gleyber Torres, like, honestly, I hope he took the offseason personal too. I need to be blown away. I need you. I want to see him show up and everybody just go like, yo, do you see him? He looks amazing.
Do you think people
moving well, lighter, whatever it is, just show me something.
He can't have those defensive gifts that he has, man.
Yep.
Like, come on, man.
Yeah, he just goes into he just has those mind farts out on the field sometimes. And sometimes it feels like he's everything he does feels like it's just slow. Like, it always just feels like it's slow. Thinking slow, moving slow, all that stuff. Yet at the plate, bat speed isn't slow.
Yeah, like, bruh. But this is the thing. Like, does he start to wear out his welcome like Gary Sanchez did?
Yeah.
Because, well, like, Gary will show you flashes. Too. He will frustrate you. He will frustrate you, you know, behind, you know, catching, at catching.
Yep.
Right? They had a split leg, one leg down, all that type of stuff. And then finally they just said, you know what, he ain't it.
Nope, that's right. And you just have to give up on a young player at some point and just realize that he doesn't have it in him.
And I'm at the point where Gleyber could have everything you need to be great, but the thing that you need the most, and that's the desire and the want to make the sacrifice to be great. That's where I'm at with Gleyber, man. Like, I mean, nobody knows where the hell in the world Andujar is, and I felt like, you know, he was okay at third base, but he had a lot of promise, and they gave up on him quickly, and I thought that him and Gleyber should have been put in the same category. Potential.
800-919-3776 is the number. We'll hear from Marcus Stroman in audio files, which is coming up, of course, in the bottom of the hour.
We're going to hear a lot from him because he's going to be a guy that's going to be talking braggadocious.
Maybe. Like, is that one of those punchable faces?
That can wear thin.
Is that one of those punchable faces?
I think so.
All right. Well, Bart was asking, punchable faces in sports, who are they? Derek in Harlem. What's up, D?
What's up? So, Alan, when you walked the elevator, you was like Tupac when he saw Omar Epps and Juice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not quite. Man. Right when it was about to close.
I'm gonna try to act like I have that kind of toughness in me. I'm just saying that there are moments when the door opens and you see that who's in the elevator and there ain't nobody around and you're like, oh, okay, all right.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah,
now we can have a conversation. There's nobody around here to protect you.
But like, anyway. What's up now? You're talking all that sweet stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But now, Dylan Brooks, Grant Williams. Like I said, the whole Spurs team, when they're not passing the rock to Big. Who else? Kyle Shanahan. I got a whole bunch of lists.
Hey, Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan
throwing people under the bus.
And by the way, Bart, did you notice that Derek has a list? Like, he's got a list.
Yeah, you ain't got a list? You'll be watching TV like, man, I'm going to punch him in the face. boy? What's up with your man? What's up with your boy Draymond last night? You saw him? He had that, exactly that face when he was twitching. He was on the sideline. You seen it?
Yeah.
Nah, I missed that. What'd he do?
I'm gonna punch him. He was like, I'm gonna at you. He was standing on the sideline. He was like twitching, like he wanted to punch somebody. Yeah. He looked a little, you know, a little Detroitish.
He was like Ben Reigns. They always want. I told you, young dude, don't f with me. You always want a brother on his second strike to get his third strike. That's right. Call for your mama. Call for your mama. If we was in prison, I'd make you get on your knees and fix it.
Like he was going through withdrawals on the sideline. Like I just gonna punch somebody right now.
Just knees.
He probably heard that Eubanks got punched, and you know, probably triggered something. He wanted to punch somebody.
No, he heard Eubanks got punched. I was like, I told you, man. That young brother shook me like a rag doll. There's certain people I don't talk to. You know, it's like nobody ever picked with Ben Wallace. They were bigger than Ben Wallace, but nobody ever messed with Ben Wallace. And like he like, yo, Isaiah Stewart is the new him.
Ron Artest went straight to that scores table
and laid his ass down. He laid down like, nope. My therapist told me.
You want to miss you, old man?
No. Come around here, mess with these fine people.
You know what's so
funny
too is that you know that whole thing about Malice in the Palace. They did the documentary, and everybody was saying that the guy that Mehta got like when Ron hit him, they're like that was Turtle from Entourage. And Jerry Ferrara always has to tell people that wasn't me. Like he's like it wasn't me because of the grainy video. It had a likeness of Jerry Ferrara. It's one of the funniest things. Thank you, Derek. Jules in Queens, Jules.
Guys, what's Travis it? Kelce by Andy Reid. Ooh. And let me tell you right now, it can be at any time, anywhere. The most randomest time ever. It could be at this Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift wedding, maybe, if it happens. Just clock him out of nowhere. No reason for nothing. Just clock him and just keep it walking.
He pops him, holds him up, and goes, breathe, dog, breathe. Breathe, dog.
Yeah, right? I told you it's gonna get you back. Told you. You know I'm gonna get you back.
At
now.
The most, it could be anywhere. It could be at the gym. It could be at practice. It could be anywhere, and everybody will know why.
Nobody will say a word.
He don't got to explain himself.
Could you imagine that story? Right. Thank you, Jewel. Bart, imagine that. Like all of a sudden, you just see a headline where it's like Andy Reid assaults Travis Kelce at a charity event or something like that. And the whole world's like, yep.
Saw that coming.
Like, not a single person's going, I can't believe he did that. What provoked it? No, we'd all go, yep. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much right. He waited to the right moment. Joe in Hamden. What's up, Joe?
Bar and Han, how we doing today?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Thank you. Like Isaiah Stewart, I got a two-piece for you guys.
Oh, there you go.
First one, you guys hearing any whispers about the Jets going out and getting Donovan Smith from the Chiefs?
I'm not trying to mess with
Bart. Bart shot that down when I told him about Donovan Smith's interest in playing in New York, where he's from here. He grew up a Jets fan. And Bart, explain again, because I don't know if maybe Joe heard it. Tell me what you said about why Donovan Smith was so open about his desire to play for the Jets.
Because he know they ain't going to pay his ass because they need an upgrade. Like, and they had to keep tight ends and shift their way out. Yeah. Like, bro, why the hell? If the Chiefs that just won a Super Bowl with you don't want you back, why the hell would I want you back? Because I don't have, like, Patrick Mahomes. I got, you know, that bad man, but he ain't 28 years old no more.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I didn't hear that, so thank you for enlightening me on that. You know, my mentality was just that thinking, you know, that championship mentality.
Right.
And, you know, alongside helping Aaron Rodgers with his championship mentality, having more of the same mentality can only benefit the entire group, in my opinion.
Nah, I need a better player than that.
And then, so give me the better player then, Bart. Who's the better offensive lineman who's a veteran that you should go after that's going to upgrade the line? Give me some.
Well, they got the Eric Dotson guy. That's a guard, right? That could force Vera Tucker over there. They're going to draft either the right tackle from Oregon State,
yeah,
or if the kid from Penn State drops.
Right.
But, you know, that's a lot to ask for a rookie. Not since Tristan Wirfs have we seen a lineman come in and kind of ball out like that.
Okay.
But, you know, if you got to move him to right, it's a player that's available.
You need a left tackle. We know this, right?
Yeah, it's a player that's available from the Raiders, too. Raiders got a good one that's available that's going to be a free agent this year. And, I mean, I would, you know, you got – Kevin Zeitler from Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to move him back to
I like him. That's a good one.
You move him to right guard and put Vera Tucker out there at right tackle, and then you can do some shuffling that way. So I just much go with a better player that's played better.
Okay.
And I don't care. The Jets need help because I'm not bringing Langston Thompson back, not with how he's played. He's proved that only he can play next to a great left tackle like Trent Williams, and maybe we overstated how good he was.
Yeah, there was some issues certainly there with him. Jarrell in New Jersey. Jarrell.
What's going on, Bart? What's going on, Han?
Savage.
What up?
What's going on? Easy one. Nick Sirianni right in the mouth. Yes. No question.
Yes.
Yeah. No question.
Yeah.
Such a punchable face.
He really does put – there are definitely vibes there on that one. That's a good one, Jarrell. And it's like
– his own players want to do it. Come on. That's easy.
Now, I was going to ask that, Bart. Like, and I'm glad you brought that up, Jarrell. Like, Bart, do you think like that has worn off even in the locker room? Because a year ago, everybody loved it. What do you think?
Yeah, man. Like, listen, that's why he had to go out there and get new people. He damn near about to get fired, son.
Man, he had to get new coordinators. Brad upstate. What's up, Brad?
Hey, what's up there, Barton Hahn? Great to talk with you guys.
Likewise.
I got two guys for you. Two guys. Sirianni, that other fellow took my thunder. Sirianni for sure, right in the nose, right in the middle of the face there. And the other guy is that referee in the Houston Nick game, man. I'd love to get him right between the eyes.
By the way,
he strikes again.
Jason Goble. Did you see last night, Brad? Thank you, Brad.
Brad.
Did you see last night? Last night? Oh my God! It's the you just were under fire in the previous game. Scores tied. There's 40 to go. Bulls and the Cavs, and there's an inbounds, and Goble calls an away from the ball foul, which means shots and the ball. By the way, away from the ball foul on Alex Caruso, who, by the way, they both again incidental contact. Caruso flops to fall to try to draw a foul. Donovan Mitchell still gets the ball, and he's wide open. Why would you blow the whistle? Nothing happened. He caught the ball. Let it go. Why? What did Steve Javi tell us? One time in his career, he had a week
twice
where he made two bad calls twice in a week. Well, I guess Jason Goble did it. I guess he pulled the Javi.
Yeah, he's but like, still, man, if Jabby did it, he became great.
I mean, why would you? And it's so amazing, too, because Josh Tiven was the crew chief in this game. And the minute the whistle's called, Tiven goes right over to him and he's conferring with him, like, what happened? Like, what are you, like, you could see it in his face. He's like,
bro,
what are you calling?
This?
Damn, 46, like, you would think you just went through it. You got embarrassed, you got reprimanded, your own crew chief called you out. Why the hell are you blowing that whistle? Amazing to me. But yeah, that's definitely one. Like, we got to have words. Like, he's that guy now. When, like, you've got him on, when he's in the crew, you're like, well, better not have a close game.
Yeah.
Maybe, before the ball's inbounded, you look at him and you go, don't you do it.
Close game, you ain't allowed to make no calls.
If I'm the crew chief, I'm almost saying, give me your whistle. Last minute of the game, give me your whistle.
They give him a whistle, but it ain't got no tweet in it. Like, they take the ball out so he can't blow through it.
Something, anything. Ira in Staten Island. What's up, Ira?
Hey, Alan Bart. First of all, thoughts and prayers to the people in KC. I'm lost for words. I don't even know how to explain it. But just got to pray for these people.
Absolutely.
Bart, you were mentioning, free agency Donovan Smith. I look at this free agent class and whatever the Jets are going to add to kind of improve this team. I think it's going to be tough, and I think whoever they bring aboard, they're going to have to overpay. I mean, you're not going to get any free agents that are coming here for the future. This is pretty much a one-and-done deal for everybody. So I think anybody that comes here, they're going to just have to overpay, and, they're going to have to deal with it. The sad part is if this thing don't work out, if somebody has to, they're going to make changes. Somebody's going to have an awful salary cap to clean up the following year, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? But I think it's tough, right? When you think about the people that's out there, some people are going to want to go play. It's enough guys out there to try and do something. I just wonder how creative they get. And we're going to see the true power of Aaron Rodgers and people want to come play with him this year.
Magnetism?
We couldn't do it last year. We couldn't do it last year because they were unsure if the deal was ever going to get done, so people weren't going to wait around and not get their money. But this
year, remember, free agency was before the draft, so that Rodgers thing was right.
But remember, salary caps are hitting, so it's going to be a lot of people. I mean, who knows? I'm scared of a guy like Tyron Smith because he's, you know, even though he's only like 31, he seems like he's the oldest 31 out there.
Yeah, he's been through a lot of wars and a lot of miles. And Lael Collins too, right? You want to make sure he's
worried about, you know, Trent Brown. Like he can't stay. He, you know, he's fat, but you know, Kevin Dotson's going to get high end money. Let's see, you know, the Rams going to be able to pay him or want to pay him. You know, it's some guys out there. It's really a high in the guard market, right? When you think about guys like Kevin Zeitler and stuff like that, the Baltimore is up against it, especially with Baltimore got so many free agents, man. It's crazy, especially at the top end. They're going to lose a lot of guys that they're on their team before, whether it's guys like Jadeveon Clowney that's trying to tap in and get bread. You think about the guy from New England. That had a career year. Guys gonna cash out, so it's gonna be interesting to see how they decide to do that. But they're gonna have to go big, man. They're gonna have to go big and.
Well, the line is critical. We all know the line is absolutely critical. We'll have certainly months to talk about it. 800-919.
Guys like Cushenberry, you know what I mean? You just never know, right? Cushenberry, I love Cushenberry coming out of LSU. You know, he's in Denver, but he, you know, I knew he was gonna be good, but he's a center, but. Tippmann can play guard, so it depends on how creative they're going to get that way. Because they can make Tippmann just a straight-up guard, and, you know, Cushenberry is a high-end, you know, center. So it's going to be interesting. But, you know, they're going to have a long-term plan about guys with scheme flexibility.
All right. We got audio files coming up next. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So Aaron Boone says the Yankees are hell-bent on being a champion. Earlier this morning on DPH, on Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said that will require the Yankee offense to come through in the clutch.
When push comes to shove and you look at this lineup, which has been the problem for this team getting over the hump, has been the lineup. Aaron Judge has been great during the regular season, has struggled in the postseason, is they need to be better offensively, depending on which DJ
they need to be better offensively.
I understand that. But still, like, I mean, outside of Soto, Judge,
but still, Stanton's going to hit for power. Like, if he's healthy, he's going to hit for power.
Okay, if. You just keep saying ifs.
But you have two guys that are two top five players in baseball. Of the seven remaining guys in the lineup, three or four should be at least good.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we'll get back to the calls at 800-919-3776. Plenty more to get to, of course, with you before we get you to the K-Show. We're halfway there, though, so stay with us, of course. Because right now, Bart Scott, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio File.
The Audio File.
Ah, yes, Audio Files, where we begin with... I don't know if this was surprising. This had to be surprising news. After the Niners lose in the Super Bowl, the first move they make is they fired their defensive coordinator, Steve Wilks, who it felt like was having a pretty damn good game. Adam Schefter on Wilks being fired.
If we go back to the middle of the season, the 49ers took Steve Wilks from upstairs, put him down on the field, and the level of play improved some, but not enough to where Kyle Shanahan felt comfortable, to where he took a few nights, thought about the decision, came in this morning, met with Steve Wilks, and decided to go in a different direction. Now the 49ers will be going on their fourth different coordinator in 4 years. Kyle Shanahan said they'll look internally, but he's also interested in looking outside the organization to other ideas. And he said today it just never seemed to be exactly the way they wanted it to go. He complimented Steve Wilks as a man, which everybody knows, as a coach, but he felt like it was in the best interest of the 49ers to go a different direction.
Now, Bart, the way Shanahan explained it, he said that, you know, where we're going and where we're at with our team from scheme standpoint, things like that, looking throughout the year, I felt pretty strong this was a decision that was best for the organization. Now, again, the fact that they've gone through different coaches is because D'Amico Ryans became a head coach. Robert Saleh became a head coach. That does happen. But what do you see in this? Do you think this was the right move?
It's a questionable one, right? And this is one that's made by the head coach. And to me, it's hard because when you look at the record and the statistics – under Wilks, they actually did better than under D'Amico Ryans. And you can't look at the game, the Super Bowl game, and say, hey, I think it was the defense fault that they lost the Super Bowl because they kept them in that game. They turned over Mahomes. They had two turnovers. You know, it wasn't his fault. You know what I mean? That, you know, he didn't lay an egg. It was, if anything, it was the offense that laid the egg, not being able to take advantage of the turnovers and the opportunities that Kansas City gave them. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about punting after getting a interception on the 45-yard line, you know, but we know that the head coach isn't going to fire the offense coordinator because they're the same person. So right. He had to blame somebody and find blame as somebody, and he put it on Wilks because it took a while early on. Like you said, you know, Adam said they took him down from upstairs to downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, early on the defense wasn't playing great, but when you looked at statistics and it shook loose, you know, you can say that, you know, the defense wasn't the problem. So, looks like scapegoating. And, you know, at some point, you know, Kyle's going to have to look at himself and say that he's not getting it done in the big moments. But they're having success. I just wonder where they go. Are they talking about trying to do something different? Like, does Rex Ryan name pop up again? You think about, you know, Kyle Shanahan. He's a guy that when you think about it, he's a guy that grew up around his father. So, he has, I believe, an affinity for – some of the old school names that's around. So yeah, Zimmer got his name off. So was it when Rex didn't get that job, did he say, aha, maybe I can try and, you know, do something. You know, we know what the Rex Ryan brand is about. He's been around during those times. He was on those staffs with his dad when Rex went to Baltimore and got that ass kicked. And if Rex was excited about playing and coaching that group, I mean, I think that the San Francisco personnel offers even more when you think about what they have on that defensive line.
Okay.
And taking a guy like Chase Young and trying to make
pieces.
Him like Terrell Suggs, right? They have better pieces when you think about top to bottom across, you know, Hargrave, Armstead, and you think about Bosa and Chase. I mean, those are all first-round, you know, all-pro caliber players. You give him Fred Warner, that's right there. That gives him his Ray Lewis. And, you know, Chardarius Ward is a pretty good outside corner. Funga, I believe, was hurt. But he's a guy that's, you know, Troy Polamalu type. You know.
Okay.
That can be something.
All right, so let's keep an eye on that. Rex Ryan maybe stays in the cycle and finds his way to San Francisco with that defense. Okay. All right, into the NHL we go as we continue on Audio Files. A couple of things here, Bart. First and foremost, as I mentioned earlier, you know, this what happened at the end of a game between the Maple Leafs and the Senators became a big controversy. So there was a player, Ridly Greig, who shot into an empty net, which with 5 seconds to go, which pretty much ended the game. Now, he did it like right in front of the net. It was emphatic. And after scoring that goal to essentially put the game away for the Senators, Leafs defenseman Morgan Rielly cross-checked him in the head and then just started pounding on him. So the NHL suspended Morgan Rielly 5 games as a result of this, and it became a discussion. Like, you shouldn't do that. It's just an unwritten rule. You don't do something like that. You're showing up your opponent. You don't have to do that. Here's Henrik Lundqvist, Hall of Famer, obviously a beloved Ranger. He's on TNT. When they were discussing this and whether or not this was the wrong thing and that it was that Greg had as much responsibility for this as Morgan Rielly.
I'm fine with it. I don't okay. care about a slap shot in an empty net.
You don't want to me,
that was all frustration from not tying the game. And I know players hate giving up goals in empty nets because it affects their plus minus too. So there's some extra frustration there as well. But no, I
you're not protecting the honor of the empty net. That's you're okay with that.
I have no issue with it.
Now, if Henrik Lundqvist doesn't care that you're taking a slap shot into an empty net, then should anybody else care? Bart, did they make too much of this? And is there anything else akin to this? This is like a player going for a breakaway dunk when the game is pretty much over. And in the NBA, you layup. Don't do that.
Or layup Lance Stephenson.
Well, yeah. But in the NBA, no, that's an unwritten rule in the NBA.
I know.
Like, you don't even shoot the ball in the final possession if you're just letting the clock run out because there's no way the other team can win. You don't shoot the ball. You take the turnover. You take the shot clock running out. But yet, imagine if you tried to dunk a basketball in that situation in the NBA. Oh, no. They have words. So there are these unwritten rules here. But still, to cross-check a dude in the head for a different story. Have a conversation. But cross-check him in the head? I don't think so.
Yo, like, because then, like, if I'm that guy, like, the way you – when it's unwritten rules, the way you check those unwritten rules is when that happened, then one of his teammates go do something to one of their guys that's unnecessary. So, like, look, bro, like, your consequences got consequences too. So, and then people stop
point.
That. Like, all right, you went to cross-check somebody in the face. Now I'm going to go cross-check one of your guys in the face that you really need when there's nothing left to play for and see how you like it.
Well,
like,
speaking of –
like, because it insinuates that he ain't – that his boys ain't got his back. So I'm going to show you that, yo, you do something to him, I don't care what the circumstances is. Let us talk to him. You don't talk to him.
I just think in that moment, you can meet him at the – you know, when he's celebrating, you can meet him and let him know, like, that's wrong. But to cross-check a guy in the head when you – this is a league that is – filled with head injuries and concussions.
Yeah.
Like, that's the precedent you don't want to set. And that's why the 5-game suspension, it's noteworthy. But to start arguing, well, you know, he shouldn't do that either. No. He shouldn't do it, but you don't, like, it doesn't make an excuse. So he deserved to get cross-checked in the head. Don't give me that. All right. Meanwhile, speaking of consequences, so Patrick Waugh, the talk about legendary goaltenders, now the head coach of the New York Islanders. The Islanders have had a couple of bad L's here. They're now off. They play Sunday in the Stadium Series game against the Rangers, but they've had a couple of days off before that so that it allows you to prepare for this game. And so Patrick Waugh had practice yesterday, and he went through, they call it a bag skate, where he had them doing all kinds of hustle drills and effort drills, and then he had them do the Herb Brooks, they call them the Herbies, where you're at one end of the ice and you're skating 200 feet to the other and back. And then he blows the whistle again.
So
right?
Fast.
The famous scene from Miracle. Yeah, it's right. The down and backs. And so he had a practice like that yesterday. And so you don't see that in the NHL during the regular season, especially this late in the regular season. But they've had bad finishes to games. They can't score lately. And he explained.
Get your ass in shape so you can
finish. That's exactly it. He explained why they did this.
Well, today was about fundamentals. I mean, we've been practicing. I mean, we've been talking a lot about the structure and how we want to play. But there's one part in our game that I think needs to improve is the compete level. And I think I mentioned that before. And today was a good day for that. And That's what I mentioned to the guys. I wanted to have a good practice today, working hard. It was the only time really we could do a thing like this. So we took advantage of the schedule to do this today, and making sure that our compete level get inside of, you know, the players and find ways to you know, get that inside body position. And I feel like it's going to help our game. I think it's going to help our turnovers and makes us a better hockey club, period.
Compete level? Bart, I said something about the Islanders right when he was hired. I went on with Pat O'Keefe on the weekend. It was a Saturday when they fired Lane Lambert and they hired Patrick Waugh. And I said, there are whispers around the Islanders that under Lane Lambert, after Barry Trotz had been let go, that it became a country club, that they all live in the nice suburbs. They all got paid. This is a team that was a hardworking team that you never wanted to play in a playoff series. They got to back-to-back conference final appearances, and they lost to the Stanley Cup champion. And, you know, so you tip your cap, but still, they were a hardworking, high-compete team. And then everybody got paid, and the sense was everybody got soft. Lambert really wasn't demanding, and some guys weren't in the best of shape, and it was a country club-type atmosphere. That was the whispers. What Patrick Waugh just said there is that those whispers were accurate, and that he's like, no, this has got to change. I mean, can you imagine having to work on compete level this late in the season?
Yep. And sometimes people, you know, guys think they're working hard, but it's not working hard. Like, bro, you think you're working hard. That's not championship compete. All right, so, like, let me show you what it looks like because I know, because I've been there. I've won chips.
Well, speaking of, and he has. He's won 4 Stanley Cups. Speaking of, by the way, compete level, the Nets showed none of it last night. They lost by 50 in Boston. A total no-show in their last game before the All-Star
That's
break.
That's something here's, to get Vaughn fired. That's something
well,
to get fired.
Well, and here's Jacques Vaughn with no answers.
We have some work to do. We have to be okay doing the work. But I do believe this team can do the work. So use this as a reminder. We got our tails kicked tonight. And that after the break, it won't be any easier. But we have to be up for the challenge.
If he is still, and I'm never one to advocate someone getting fired. If
he's
he is still
on,
the head coach,
he's been on thin ice for so long.
If he is still the head coach after this break, then the Nets are not trying to win this season. That's it. If he's still, that you can't possibly do this. Now, let me read you a quote from Mikal Bridges after this game. And this tells you all you need to know. We got beat by 50. It's not just let it go. A ton of stuff, and he didn't say stuff, is not right. And you've got to fix it. He said, we've got to know what we're doing. We've got to come together as a team, as coaches, and figuring a game plan. This can't be the same with everybody. Everybody's different. Like, wait a second. When he says we've got to come together as a team, as coaches, and figure out a game plan, who's he talking about? Like, he's not saying the players have to play harder. He's like, we don't know what we're doing. His first line was, we've got to know what we're doing. That screams coach. So let's see what the Nets do during this break. All right, do we have time for more? One more, and this is, of course, on the baseball side of things. Marcus Stroman is now, as we mentioned Gerrit Cole earlier, is now part of the pitching rotation, the starting pitching rotation, the All-Star. And he's back at home in New York. He's from Long Island. He did pitch for the Mets, but he admittedly grew up as a Yankees fan, and he said he never believed this would happen.
This was a situation I didn't think I'd be in at all, you know what I mean? But it's a situation that has excited me more than anybody knows. You know, when Cashman calls and says he wants you to play for the Yankees, that's like, it gives you chills. When Aaron Judge calls you and tells you he wants you to play for the Yankees, it gives you chills. You know, when everyone reaches out and tells you that they want you to be a part of this organization, you know what I mean? That puts me, I'm getting chills right now. Like, I can't wait to go out there. It's hard for me to put into words, but I know I'm probably going to be slated third in the rotation, and that would line me up for the home opener against the Toronto Blue Jays. So I just love moments like that, and I feel like I'm the one to be in big moments like that, and I can't wait to feel the energy of the crowd.
How about him already looking ahead to know that he'll be starting the home opener? It kind of tells you he is pretty excited about it, excited about it.
Yeah. Let's see the other side of that. Just ask John Carlos Stanton when Cashman started calling your ass out and people start booing you.
Well, that's always the hard part, but the idea is to play well enough you're not getting booed. So we'll see how all this goes down. All right, that's Audio Files. 800-919-3776. Want to shout out Jacob Perry. That's a great job today putting all that together for me, my man. We'll get to your calls. Back into the Knicks conversation, top of the hour, 2 o'clock. Also, well, Michael Kay said something about Pete Alonso that I need Bart to hear and react to, because it is definitely – I get the exact same sense. So, more to get to. Stay with us. Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. It's pond hockey season on Long Island, and ESPN New York wants you to be part of the action. Head to ESPNNewYork.com or the ESPN New York app for your chance to win a 60-minute time slot at the outdoor synthetic rink at the park at UBS Arena. Just scroll down to contest and submit your entry. Join the New York Islanders for some fun in February. Take advantage of special ticket pricing for upcoming home games at UBS Arena and be there for every thrilling matchup. Get your tickets today at NewYorkIslanders.com/Feb. Let's take Sharky from Suffern. What's up, Sharky?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What's happening?
Alan, first for you, congratulations on a Beanpot championship up there in Boston.
My son doesn't play at he doesn't play. He plays at UNH, so we're not thrilled about it.
Oh,
anything.
UNH! Oh, I thought it was at Northeastern.
No, not at Northeastern. Okay. No, UNH. So we could care less about the bean pot.
Okay.
We're just trying to beat Maine. We're just trying to beat Maine this weekend. Whiten out the wit, baby. That's all we care about. Okay. That's the border battle that we care about.
Yeah, that's a tall task. That's two good teams going at it right
very
there.
Very good. Maine's very good.
I just wanted to go over with the audio files with what Riley did to the other guy that took the slap shot into the empty net.
Yep.
That's out of line, but you cross the line anytime you use your stick. You want to drop your gloves, go over there, drop the guy to the ice, maybe get a one-game suspension. Mm. Once you go with the stick, you're out of line. That's totally out of line.
I think you're right. I think
and
you're
one
totally
more
right.
thing for Bart. I called Bart a couple of weeks ago. You were on vacation, Alan. And I called Bart and we're talking about a little
cleaning.
Hockey.
Alan's always on vacation.
Yeah, that was a while. It probably ended Christmas week. It was definitely Christmas week.
Yeah, maybe. And Bart, I was talking about, you know, being a tough guy in football and tough guy in hockey. And I said, the tough guys in hockey are tougher, blah, blah, blah. And Bart said, and he rolled out of nowhere, Bob Probert. He said, Sharky, I'll pull a Bob Probert on you. And I'm like, how the hell does this big black tough guy know about Bob Probert?
I'm from hockey town, man. Rather
he's
he was
from Detroit.
I'm from
the
hockey.
I didn't realize you were from Detroit.
Come on, man. Steve Eisenman, the youngest captain in the history of hockey, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I love it. I love it, Bart. I love it.
Sergei.
Who the fuck?
Fedorov.
Listen, Alan, when you know his last name, when you just say Sergei. You ain't even got to say nothing else.
You just call him Sergei because that's his nickname?
Yeah, Fedorov. Yes.
Sergei.
Who's the goalie? Right, tell me your favorite goalie. Thank you, Sharky. Who's your favorite goalie?
Well, we rock with Osgood.
Yeah, Ozzy was good, but I think you also like Dominic Hasek, did you know?
We like Ozzy because he was like came from out of nowhere. He was the backup, and then he became the starter for a couple
remember
years.
Remember when Mike Vernon fought Patrick Waugh?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, those were the days.
I love the hockey when you throw him when like Rick took an L in his only fight, right?
I mean, no, he had a couple of scraps that he was like it was the one that everybody talks about. Obviously, he got clocked pretty good. The guy was huge though. But yeah,
Rick was trying to hurt his fist with his head.
I think he was just trying to grab him and didn't realize it. He got his hand free. That's what that was about.
See, that's what I love about that's why I love about hockey fights. It's a coordinated dance because you need each other.
Good point. You need it for leverage. You got to hold on.
Right.
Yeah, it's not boxing. Like, you starts out with a, you know, you're split and you're in the boxing stance, but in a second you got to grab a piece of the shoulder pad.
Right.
You got to get a piece
of the jersey and shoulder pads
so you can hold them.
You don't have two free hands.
Not usually, no.
So you need to know some jujitsu escape moves, like go with the right hand, then take the right hand off and split to the left hand, then hit him with the right. You know what I'm saying?
I also think the importance of, and you said jujitsu, learning how to tumble to a point where you end up on top is critical.
Yeah.
And that's not easy on skates, obviously. Yeah. But that's a big part of it, too, is just knowing that if you're going down, figure out the way of using momentum to your advantage. Because all that matters, you end up on top. You could take five punches to the face, but if you end up on top, you won.
But it's a fight, though, right? So this is what I don't understand, why nobody ever, you know, all these people take jujitsu and some forms of martial arts. Mm-hmm. Hit him with the elbow. You want to see something split? Hit him with the elbow.
Again,
he'll let your ass go so fast.
Put on skates and try it. It is not.
I get it. But if you can throw a punch, you can throw, because you actually takes less energy to throw an elbow, but the elbow is so sharp that it does maximum damage.
Especially when you have an elbow pad on and it's made of very hard plastic.
I'm pulling that off. Yeah, I'm pulling that off. I want the sharp bone elbow.
Sometimes that
happens. I'm hitting with that Bone Jones, you know what I'm saying? Bone Jones, put the hand out like that. Bam!
We need to get to UBS to an Islanders game, and I need to sit you down with Patrick Roy. The stories he could tell, and you could tell him about your Detroit day, it'd be a lot of fun.
Patrick
Roy.
Hey, what's up, Coach Roy?
Boy, oh boy, that'd be something.
He's pretty intense. Call me Roy one more time.
Right.
What do you mean?
Roy.
Right, exactly. That's the Jim Everett moment that Jim Rome will never forget. All right, 800-919-3776. We'll get back into the Knicks conversation. Where are you right now as a fan base as they go into the All-Star break? We are in crisis of confidence. Are you feeling some angst right now? Or are you good? Just got to get healthy and everything will be fine. I want to hear from you in the Power Hour next. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So the Knicks with their first four-game losing skid of the season. But when you consider who's being forced to play because of all the injuries, are these really the Knicks? So how would Jalen Brunson wrap up the first half of the season?
I think we've had a great two-thirds of the season. We put ourselves in the position where we've done well, but we have a lot of room for improvement. So I think this break is obviously good for us with a walking wounded right now. But I'm more than happy with what we've been able to do. So quick reset and just get ready to go next week.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's The Choice in New York Sports Talk. It is The Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM, the all-new ESPN New York app.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.